Returning God's Word this morning to the psalm that we just sang, Psalm 5. In the beginning verses of the psalm, we read the psalmist, who we see here is David. He's speaking of his prayers unto God, and he wants God to hear his prayers. That's his petition. But then we find out in the second part of the psalm why he needs that prayer. It's because of the battle that he faces in this life against enemies and even against sin. And knowing that God then is the judge of those that walk in sin. So we keep that in mind as we read the psalm, Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Thus far, we read God's Word. It's on the basis of this passage and many other passages of Scripture that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 45. You can find that on page 25 in the back of your Psalter. As I said a few moments ago, this is the first Lord's Day in the Heidelberg Catechism on prayer. It's an introductory Lord's Day, leading us into a consideration of the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. So the Catechism says here in Lord's Day 45, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word, for all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer, as He has promised us in His Word. What if God commanded us to ask of Him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. And then the next question and answer, we have the familiar words of the Lord's Prayer. Knowing our dependence on God for all things, let's now come before Him and ask for His blessing on the preaching. Father in heaven, so often our prayer lives need a boost and a refresher. And we are thankful that Thou dost give to us in the Heidelberg Catechism, preaching encouragement in prayer. We come before you this morning confessing our need for that encouragement, our need for growth in our prayer lives. And so many of us can certainly confess that we are not praying like we should. And so we pray that Thou will bless us now as we turn our attention in the coming weeks to prayer. We pray, O Lord, that we may learn how to pray in a way which is pleasing unto Thee. And we pray this morning that we would be encouraged to pray. That we would be encouraged in the knowledge that Thou art a God who hears and answers our prayers for Jesus' sake. So we pray then that Thou will bless Thy servant as he brings this word to us. Grant him boldness and courage and strength to proclaim Thy word. And through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, grant us the ability, Father, to hear this word, to hear what it is that Thou art saying to us. And we pray then that we may put these things into practice in our own prayer lives. So encourage us, Father, in this difficult calling we have to pray. All this we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we transition from the law to prayer in this third section of the Heidelberg Catechism on gratitude, how we are to live a life of gratitude to our God. In the law, we were reminded that our God speaks clearly and powerfully to us. It's not just the commandments, but in the law and in all of God's Word, God speaks to us of His saving grace. Remember what He tells us at the beginning of the law, that He is our God, we are His people. He's delivered us from bondage, the bondage of our sin. So our God in His Word clearly instructs us in the fact that we are saved by grace. And then we're called to pay close attention to what He says concerning how we live, because this is how we show that we're thankful for what God has done for us. A life of gratitude that is ordered by God's law. This morning we transition into prayer. And I mention first the law because we're reminded not only does God clearly and powerfully speak to us, but prayer reminds us that our God is also a God who has ears, not physical ears, but He has ears that are open to our prayers. So He's a God who speaks, but He's also a God who hears. He hears the communications, the prayers of His children. He loves to hear the prayers of His children. Those prayers in which we express our gratitude, our thanks for all that He has given to us, but also our prayers in which we're crying out for the things that we so desperately need from Him. And our God desires then that we pray. He calls us to prayer. He calls us to pray frequently as well. And so we're reminded as we begin our consideration of prayer that we are called to pray, and that prayer is an important part of our lives as God's people. But we need encouragement in this, don't we? I know I need encouragement. I know I've said it before when I've come to this part of the Heidelberg Catechism. I'm so thankful for this section on prayer, to receive a refresher from the Holy Spirit in how we are to pray, and to be reminded that we are to be a people of prayer as well. I would guess that if I took a poll of all of you this morning, probably every one of us would say that we're not praying as frequently as we should, and we need a reminder about how we are to pray to God. And maybe it's true for some of us right now that we just spend maybe a few minutes alone in conversation with God. We're not giving focus to prayer in our lives as we should. We're making decisions on a daily basis without turning to God in prayer. We're not having that regular time of prayer, and maybe in our homes or in our lives like we should. And now the Word of God sets before us a reminder that we are to be a praying people. My desire this morning is that we together would be encouraged to pray not only more regularly and more frequently, but that we would be praying more fervently and earnestly as well. That we would see this morning the not only the importance, but the necessity of prayer for us in our lives. And I don't want us to be discouraged by our failures this morning. Because part of what happens, whenever we hear the Word of God, we hear about our failures. Don't be discouraged by the failures. Be thankful this morning that God speaks to you concerning those failures and encourages you not to continue in that way, but to continue in the way that is pleasing to Him. And know that there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And cry out to God and thank Him for that which we have in Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, as an introduction now into the sermon, we consider this Lord's Day, Lord's Day 45, this introductory Lord's Day on prayer under the theme, the discipline of regular prayer. Now remember, my goal is that we be encouraged in this discipline of regular prayer. And so that's found in the 3 points that we look at this morning. Encouraged by our calling, encouraged by our need, and then finally, encouraged to grow. And what I mean by that is encouraged to grow in prayer. I want to give some encouragement, some things we can do to grow in this discipline of prayer. We talk about prayer this morning, we need to start here. We need to start with what prayer is. Let's define it, but in defining it, let's remember it's not just a cold definition, but it's a definition of something that we're involved in, something that we're doing. This is what prayer is. It's covenant children speaking to their heavenly Father in the confidence of His love. It's children speaking to Father. It's the way that we as children who are adopted with this precious blood of Jesus Christ, it's one of the ways in which we are communicating to our Father. And in fact, it's the chief way that we communicate to Him. We do that because we love Him. We do that because we know His love for us. We do that because we know our dependence upon Him for all things. We see that prayer is a covenant activity. It's an activity of covenant friendship. That friendship, remember, that God has established with us. He's brought us into a relationship where we know ourselves to be sons and daughters, and He is our Father. And in this relationship, He communicates to us. That's where we began this morning in the introduction. He speaks to us, a word that is powerful, a word that is clear. He speaks to us of His love. He speaks to us of His grace, His undeserved favor for us. He speaks to us of how we are to live. And we respond to that. That's what prayer is. It's our response to the Word that God speaks to us. That's why so often when we pray, there's the reading of the Word that goes with it. That's part of our worship here in the church. It's part of our family worship. When we have family worship, we don't just pray. We read the Word of God and we pray. When we have a personal time that's devotional, so often, and that's what we should be doing, we read the Word of God, we're hearing what God says to us, and then in prayer, we're responding to that Word. Even when it comes to our lives and the times of spontaneous prayer, we understand the sovereignty of God over our lives, that He is working. And so we're responding to what it is that He's doing in our lives as we're remembering the Word of God and what He says. So in prayer, we're responding with adoration. praise for the great things that He has done and the greatness of who He is. We respond with confession. We see our own sins and we respond by confessing our sins before God. We respond with thanksgiving. We thank God for what He has done in Jesus Christ. And we also respond with supplication. We cry out to God in our deep need, praying for the things that we need. Now maybe you noticed with those words that I use, the acronym ACTS. Maybe you've been taught that in school, or taught that by your parents. But the good content of prayer, ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That's all part of our response to God speaking to us. But understand something else about this. We can be assured that there is this communication with God, that God has ears that are open to our prayers only because of the work of Jesus Christ. We can pray to God only for Jesus' sake. That is why it's often our custom, isn't it, to close our prayers with those words, for Jesus' sake. It's not vain repetition. It might be repetition, but may it not be vain repetition. We understand the only way that my prayers are acceptable to God is through Jesus Christ. And so we have this aspect of friendship with God and fellowship with Him where we may communicate with Him because He communicates to us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So what happens in prayer is that we consciously enter into our Father's presence. We do that with reverence. We do that with humility. But we do that as well, pouring out our hearts before God. We come in the awareness of who He is, His greatness and His majesty, and then we speak to Him. And we must not allow the greatness and majesty of God to keep us from speaking to Him. We speak to Him as those who are dependent. We speak to Him as those who are thankful. And so we pray. Now think for a moment how many times you might pray throughout a day. I've done this with young people in catechism before. Start counting. How many times do you regularly pray during the day? And for our kids who are in school, they pray very regularly. It's regimented. They may pray at the, probably do, they should, pray at the breakfast table in the morning before they go to school. And then they pray when they get to school. And they pray before lunch. And they pray probably after lunch to begin the afternoon session. And they pray before they go home. And then they pray in family worship at night before the meal and after the meal. So there's quite a few times just there. They ought to have a time of personal prayer. Now, for us as well as adults, our prayer life too is quite regimented. We have regular times of prayer. At least we ought to, and hopefully we do in our lives and in our homes. But there are other prayers beside that, spontaneous prayers. Prayers when we're overwhelmed. Prayers when we have decisions to make. That's part of the question for us. We have decisions to make when we're overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. Are we praying? Are we praying? Are we praying frequently? Are we turning to God, praying without ceasing? We think of that. I wonder, even so often we tell each other, when someone's going through a hard time, I'm praying for you. And that's good to say, but we have to make sure always that we're actually doing that. It's not just something we say, but there are times maybe that maybe we need to say, if we're in private with someone, well, let's pray together. Not just I'm praying for you, let's pray together. Let's bring this before God. You're having a discussion with someone about something and you're not sure the answer to that. You're talking about spiritual things and what God says for this particular situation. Let's sit down and pray about that. That should be our first response as Christians, as the people of God, because the Heidelberg Catechism is reminding us from Scripture that this is required of us. It's required of us. Notice what the Catechism says. Why is prayer necessary for the Christian? Because of the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. Now this week when I was thinking about prayer and thinking about this part of the sermon, I questioned that wording there. Now, I'm not questioning it now, I understand the purpose, but I was wondering, the Heidelberg Catechism says requires, it comes off as command, and it is a command, and you find commands in Scripture as well concerning prayer, but that seems awful cold, doesn't it? Like, I thought of a mom telling her son or daughter, you have to go practice your piano. And the shoulders go down, and maybe that young boy looks at his friends, brothers and sisters out playing in the yard, and got to practice piano. Well, okay, Mom told me to, I'll do it. We shouldn't think of prayer in that way. But instead, the requirement, that word require is there because it's expected. It's expected that a child of God prays. It's expected that child communicates with Father. I believe that's the idea there of require. We don't have to shy away from that. I'm not shying away from the actual reality that God commands us to pray, but He does so because He's saying to us in His Word that it is an important part and an expected part of our relationship with God. It's not something to be done with drudgery. It's not, well, God tells me to, I guess I better spend a little time in prayer today. And hopefully we don't think of prayer in that way. God expects of us that we communicate to Him. See with me how that comes out in a few passages of Scripture. First of all, I point you to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6 and 7. Matthew 6 and 7. Notice there in verses 5 through 7, Jesus says in verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." And then verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do." Verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." All of those words of Jesus imply that this is something that's expected of God's people. When you pray, this is how you are to do it. But notice also what we read in a couple of other passages. Colossians 4. Colossians 4, verse 2. We read there, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." There's a command. Continue in prayer. Be praying constantly. Oh, that comes out in Matthew 7 also. I meant to look at that while we were there. But the commands, ask and seek and knock. All commands regarding prayer that we are to come before God constantly in prayer. And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Just imagine for a moment if the Lord Jesus Christ would appear to you like He appeared to John on the island of Patmos and He told you, pray and pray more frequently. Would you do it? I think that would make quite an impression on us, wouldn't it? We don't need Jesus to appear to us like He appeared to John on the island of Patmos because He comes to us in His Word, and this is what He tells us. Pray. Pray. This is expected of you. This is part of your relationship with God. If you know that you're in a relationship of love and friendship with Him, you're praying, and you're praying constantly in your lives. So the idea here is that God expects us to pray. That's why He gives us the command in His Word. And that means for us then that that takes away the excuses. We must not say then, we have too little time, I have too many responsibilities, I have too many kids, I have too much work, I have too little desire, too little experience, and I don't really know how to do it. No, the idea is here, this is a priority in our lives, no matter what stage of our lives we are in. This is for you children. This is for you young people. This is for you young, busy parents. It's for you parents who maybe aren't quite as busy with your children being older or you're a different kind of busyness. It's a word of God for those who are empty nesters. It's a word of God for the elderly members of the church as well. We ought to be busy and frequent in our prayer lives. I came across this quote from Martin Luther. I don't quote many people often in sermons, but this one was fitting. As it is the business of tailors to make clothes and of cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. In a week and a half, I'll be going to the Philippines. My wife and my family expects that when I go there, I'm going to communicate with them. It's expected. If I didn't, I'd be in trouble. It's part of a relationship. It's expected that we communicate. So true in our relationship with God. Why then is it such a struggle? Why is it such a struggle then at times for us in our lives? Why do we need a word like this to encourage us in our prayer lives? Well, really, I believe it comes down to this. We must recapture in our own understanding an understanding of the greatness of God. We must recapture an understanding of His amazing grace. We must recapture an understanding of His amazing covenant of grace. And we must recapture in our own understanding how dependent we are on God. And so that brings us to our second point. We're encouraged this morning to be regular in prayer, in this discipline of prayer, by the calling, by the expectation of our Father, but also we're encouraged by our need. Two things we notice here. First of all, we need to pray because prayer is the chief part of thankfulness, the Heidelberg Catechism tells us. This is why we should be diligent and frequent in our prayers. Not just as expected, but now what is expected that we communicate to God? Well, first of all, this. We're expected to communicate our thanks to Him. And again, that's not just, okay, this is what I have to do. I'm going to abide by the letter of the law. I'm going to make sure there's something of thanks and praise in it. No, we're a people overwhelmed by the greatness of God's grace. And how can we not then explode in giving thanks to God in our prayer? That's why we must, if we're going to pray like we should, recapture an understanding of the greatness of God's grace. We are sinners who are saved by grace. And because we're sinners saved by grace, our great desire in all of life is to thank this God who has saved us. And we do that in the way we live our lives. That was the law. We do that as well in prayer. In prayer unto our God. We're not going to pray like we should until we truly understand the greatness of the gifts that we've received from God. And then we begin to understand that prayer is not the way in which first and foremost we bring our complaints to God. We bring our petitions, not complaints, our petitions, but we do that with thanksgiving. Philippians 4 speaks of that. When it gives to us one of the prescriptions for anxiety in our lives. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What's important for us to understand when we're downcast, when we're anxious, is not only pray, but pray with thanksgiving. That's what's expected of us as those who have received so much and really everything from our God. What have we received from Him? Well, all things, as I just said. He's the God who provides all the things of this earth that we need, and we're thankful for those. He's the God who governs all the circumstances of our lives. We're thankful for those. we work on that, to be thankful for those circumstances. It's not always easy. But we can be thankful for those circumstances in all things because we're thankful that He's the God of our salvation. He has given the gift of His only begotten Son. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And thus we know that God is good in everything that He does. He's a God who's given us the gift of friendship and fellowship with Him. He's the God who's made us part of His family through the work of our elder brother. And so in prayer, we come before God and give thanks to Him for these things. Children, here's one of the things for you to learn about your prayers. Young people, something to learn for your prayers. And all of us, something to learn for our prayers. It is important that we give thanks to God for what He gives to us of the things of this earth. And prayer is a way to express that thanks. But let's not forget Jesus Christ. In fact, that should be primary. That should be the focus of our prayers, giving thanks to God for Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God for salvation, giving thanks to God for the blessings of that salvation, so that we can have prayers in which all that we do is give thanks to God. There's no rule about this, so I'm not trying to make a rule, but maybe it would be a good idea for us that at least one time in the week, we have one prayer on our own devoted simply to giving thanks to God. And that we're making lists of the things that we are thankful to God. We should be able to fill notebook after notebook after notebook of things that we are thankful to God for in our lives. So there's something to help us in the frequency of our prayers, thinking about what God has done and giving thanks unto Him for those things. That's what should be the focus of our prayers, giving thanks to God for what He has done. Now, to do that, that means seeing life from that perspective. Seeing the hardships and difficulties in life, afflictions and troubles, from the perspective of thanksgiving and what God is doing. Seeing the people God has put in our lives from the perspective of thanksgiving and giving thanks for them. We can easily grumble and complain in our own mind, if nothing else, about our spouse, about our children, about our parents, about our teachers, about someone else, our friends, whoever it may be. Maybe we should start praying for them. Change our attitude towards them. It will when we give thanks to God for them. Just heard of that a couple of times recently. Where I heard one widow in our own congregation telling me she received all kinds of cards when she was going through a hard time, and so she's going through those cards and praying for the people that sent those cards to her. I heard that regarding Christmas cards. As a family received Christmas cards in the mail every day at their family worship at night, they would pray through those cards for the people that sent cards, praying for them, giving thanks to God for them and the place that they had in their lives. That's gratitude in prayer. So we're encouraged to pray by the gratitude that lives in our hearts. But secondly, we're encouraged to pray because we realize our need for prayer as a gift and tool to help us realize God's goal in our lives. So here's the question. What's God's goal in our lives? What is it? God's goal in our lives is not that we be happy. God's goal in our lives instead is holiness. It's growing in godliness. Growth in godliness is God's goal. So what I said is, prayer is a tool that God has given to us for growth in godliness and growth in holiness. This is what comes out in Psalm 5. This is why I read that psalm this morning. I meant to point out earlier as well that the psalmist here speaks of regular prayer in his own life. Verse 3, that he begins the day with prayer unto God. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. There's a good reminder for us. A good way, the right way to start our day is not with our phones, not going to the computer to check what happened in the news for the night or what the weather's going to be for that day, but to start with prayer. The psalmist says, the first thing I'm going to do when I get up in the morning is I'm going to pray to God. So that even in our beds maybe in the morning, we're beginning the day with a quick prayer unto our God, looking up unto Him. But understand why the psalmist prays to God and why he speaks of the importance of prayer. He speaks of the importance of prayer because of the spiritual battle in which he finds himself. That's why the psalmist here speaks of prayer in the beginning verses. He speaks then of the wicked and their ways and the temptations that he struggles with and sins that he struggles with and that the world is trying to turn him away from God, and so he knows his need for prayer. That's why we pray as well. To grow in godliness and holiness, to be Christ-like in our lives. Is that your goal for your life? That you would grow in godliness. When it is, prayer's priority. It's a priority. Because we're not going to grow in godliness and holiness unless we pray. It's the means, one of the means that God has given. There are others, reading of God's Word, following the example of others who are godly, but prayer is part of that. As you look back in the history of the church and think of those who are known for their godliness, whether that's in the Scriptures or in church history that's followed that period of the Scriptures, and we could probably put together a whole list of names, men and women. How did God work godliness and holiness in their lives? Did He simply bless them with some special measure of holiness and godliness so that that's what they were? Well, certainly it was God's grace working in them, but it was through discipline in their lives, through the exercise and practice of doing things as God called them to do them. It didn't happen apart from their spending time in the Word. It didn't happen apart from prayer. It didn't happen apart from having a living devotional time in their own lives. We ought to want to grow in holiness and godliness, but it's not going to happen if we're just sitting back and waiting. But it happens in the way of dependence upon God, crying out to God in prayer, being in His Word. I'll go back to piano lessons a minute. A beginning pianist, young girl, young boy, they go to a concert and they hear someone else and their fingers are all over the keyboard and they play beautifully and they aspire to play someday like that person. But they don't want to practice. And maybe they come to the conclusion, well, I'm never going to be able to play like that. Just don't have the ability. Well, maybe they don't have quite the ability. But we know this for sure. We know this for sure. They're never going to achieve that level of playing the piano unless they practice. So, some of you kids who are in piano lessons, maybe this is a great encouragement to your moms this morning. But we understand the importance of that. You got to practice the scales. You got to practice the fingering. That's the only way to improve and get better. The same way in our spiritual lives. The way to grow, this is the God-ordained way, is that we're practicing something. We're practicing being in the Word. We're practicing prayer. We're living out what the Word of God calls us to do in dependence upon God. So prayer is one of the tools that God has given to us to grow in godliness. We can understand it this way. We go to the example of battle. In a battle, the general expects that his soldiers are going to stay in contact with him. The general expects that of the soldiers because he needs to hear from the soldiers what they need. Now, of course, there's a breakdown in the analogy. God is a God who knows what we need better than we know it ourselves. He knows it before we even bring it to Him because He's a God who knows all things. But yet, you understand the idea. In battle, there's that communication between general and the soldiers so that the general knows what they need and he knows what's going on in the battle. So also, that's part of our communication with God. God expects this in the battle. That's what Psalm 5 is about. That's what David is expressing. He's in the midst of the battle. He's speaking of the enemies that he faced in his life, the enemies of the church. Yes, they will be judged one day by God, but still he's in the midst of that battle. And so he's crying out to God for that which he needs. This is why we pray. We're in the midst of a battle. The battle is fierce. The battle is hard. It's a battle not just against the forces of evil out in the world. And it's not just a battle against Satan, our archenemy. It's a battle against the enemy within. A great and strong enemy. An enemy that we cannot conquer in our own strength. So as we're in the battle, we're crying out to God for help. We're crying out to God for this growth in holiness and godliness. To abandon prayer in this fight, in this battle, is to abandon then one of our most valuable resources in this battle. So where you're aware of this, you're going to pray. And pray diligently and frequently and earnestly. You see, we pray because we know our dependence upon God in this battle. It's not just, well, I pray and then the battle's going to go well. No, the prayer is the expression of our dependence upon God in the battle. We don't have the strength to fight in and of ourselves. We need Him. We need His grace. We need the protection of His Spirit. There are periods in our lives when things go quite smoothly. And so often in those periods of our lives, our prayers are not as fervent or regular as they should be. We know, of course, Jesus' words when He says, apart from Me, you can do nothing. But when things are going smooth, we easily forget that. We think we've got this. We've got this. But then God sends those other times. And that truth hits us more forcefully, that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Hardship comes. Sin comes in our lives. And we find that we're facing something too big for us to handle. And then we're reminded of our dependence upon God in the battle. But let's not wait for those moments to be diligent and frequent in our prayers. Let's remember every day, without Jesus, I can do nothing. I need to pray every day as I'm engaged in this great battle. If we want to be like Christ, and we find this to be our chief aim in life, we will discipline ourselves in prayer. There's encouragement for us then in prayer. But now finally, let's be encouraged in this calling that we have to pray, this expectation that God has in our friendship with Him. We might struggle with prayer because we say, we've not learned to pray. How do we learn to pray? Well, some might say regarding that this morning, we really need to learn how to pray. We might look at a baby. And when that baby is born, it doesn't have to learn how to cry to express that it's uncomfortable because it has a dirty diaper or it wants to eat. So the baby cries because it has a need. But yeah, we remember that when our children get older, we still have to teach them how to communicate. They might want to go back to that old way. Even though they can communicate words with their mouths, they might want to at times, because of their immaturity and their self-centeredness, they want to go back to crying, getting attention in that way. Or, as our children get older, we have to teach them to communicate in a way we would call polite, but really it's a loving way. Say please. Say thank you after you receive something from somebody. When you talk to someone, don't be demanding. When you talk to mom, don't be demanding. But instead you should request things, and this is the way in which you do that. Just like our children have to learn how to communicate in a right way to their parents, so also in prayer, we must learn how to communicate to our God. And so remembering that, our petition is this morning, Lord, teach us to pray. That was the petition of the disciples, remember? And then Jesus taught them through the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And that's what we go to next. But before we look at that model prayer, there's a couple of things we look at this morning to encourage us in our prayer lives. Two things. The first is this. Let's learn to meditate on Scripture. Meditate on Scripture. Look at Psalm 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Consider my meditation. We have to learn to meditate. What I mean by that is that so often in our own devotional life, we try to transition quickly from reading the Word of God to prayer. Maybe that's happened in your family worship. I know it's happened in ours plenty of times. There's a bit of a time crunch. So we read a passage. We know we ought to, so we read a passage. But because of that time crunch, we read that passage, and maybe it's a briefer passage than normal. No requirement has to be long, but we do it because of time. Close the Bible and we go to God in prayer. Maybe we do that in our own devotional lives. We read a devotional, close the devotional, we read the passage that goes with it, close the Bible, boom, we go into prayer. And then we struggle. You say, I'm struggling my prayer life. I'm doing my devotions. What's the problem here? Well, the problem is we forget a middle step. That middle step is meditation. Meditation is this. It's thinking on the Word. It's digesting the Word of God. So that then, after we think about that Word of God, we're speaking to God out of the thoughts that we have in response to the Word that we have just read. That's what David is speaking of here in Psalm 5, verse 1. He's speaking of his meditations and that God would hear his meditations. What happened in his own life is that this meditation catapulted David from hearing God to talking to God. It was that step in between. He heard God, he was thinking on the Word, thinking about the application of that Word to his life, thinking about what he learned about God, what he learned about himself, and then that led into prayer. The circumstances of life were seen in the light of that Word of God. His own sins were exposed. That's what happens when we meditate on the Word of God. We see in the light of our circumstances, our sins are exposed. And then that meditation on the Word of God leads to our prayer to God, our speaking to God. We've heard Him, and now we speak to Him. That's what we must learn to do, is to digest the Word of God, to hear what God's saying in a passage of Scripture, to understand what we've learned, to see the weaknesses of ourselves, the greatness of God, and respond to all of that in prayer. Now, there may be other times when it's the circumstances of life that drive us to our knees. But even then, we're thinking about God and His truth and what that means for the circumstances that we are in. So let's learn to meditate on the Word of God and let that lead us into our prayers. But that means being in the Word. The second thing we should remember this morning is that we grow in prayer by actually practicing prayer in our own lives. We can be helped by reading books on prayer. We can be helped by listening to others pray. But unless we put that into practice ourselves, we will not grow in prayer ourselves. Think of that from the perspective of learning a foreign language. Anybody who's taken a language, anybody who teaches a language, would understand that. It's not just learning the vocab. It's not just learning the grammar and sentence structure and all the rest. But if you're really going to learn the language, you have to speak it. And that's why, too, if you've taken a language in high school like I did, you lose it over time because you don't use it. You don't use it. But it's kept fresh by using it. Same thing is true in prayer. We grow in prayer, not just by learning about prayer, but by putting that into practice. And that should be something that we have as a goal as we hear sermons on prayer again, that what we hear, we put into practice. Start that this afternoon. Start that tomorrow and this week. Take things we've learned from the Word of God this morning and put that into practice. And then each week, as we go through the different parts of the Lord's Prayer, to do that in our own prayer lives. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray. And we learn that by putting that into practice. So this morning, remember the goal, that we be encouraged in this discipline of regular prayer in our lives. May we go forward now, understanding the expectation that we are to be praying, giving thanks, crying out to God for that which we need. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this word. We are thankful that thou art a God who speaks to us, and thou art a God who hears. Our prayer this morning is that thou wilt teach us how to pray, and that we would be frequent and diligent and regular in our prayer lives. That we would be calling upon thee at regular times, that we'd start our day in that way and make that a commitment in our own lives. But also, Father, that when we're going through struggles and hardships, that we would be in prayer and upon our knees, knowing our dependence upon thee for all things. So, Father, we pray that thou wilt refresh us and renew us in our prayer lives through the word that we've heard this morning. May we have grace and strength to take it with us and live then for the glory of thy name. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.